Welcome to the Seamus Heaney Centre podcast. Over the next few episodes, we'll be hearing from some of our students in a series of pilot programmes, each a little different, reflecting the range of writing and conversations about writing that go on in the centre. In this episode, we join three writers, each completing their creative PhD with us. With diverse interests across literature and art, their conversation covers the shared ground of their academic journey and the context of a pandemic, how it's influenced the stories they tell and how they tell them. This is The Edit.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on The Edit. I'm Sharon Dempsey, your host for this episode, and I'm joined by Emma Devlin and Niamh McCann. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves and their research areas. Emma, if you want to start off.
Yeah, hi there. I'm Emma. I'm a PhD candidate in creative writing. My research focus is on weird fiction, representations of the non-human, and envisioning post-anthropocene futures. I write mainly short stories, and I've had a few of those published in places like the Irish Times, Banshee, and Channel. And I'm working on a collection of short stories as part of my creative writing project. So,
thank you. And Niamh?
Hi, I'm Niamh McCann. I'm a Belfast-based visual artist and screenwriter from Limavady. I'm in the first year of my PhD, and it's focused on the narrative construction of self-identity through the revision of memory. And I'm working on a sci-fi noir screenplay called The House We Grew Out Of.
Okay, thank you. That sounds really good. I'm in the first year of a creative PhD as well. I'm examining gender and class in Northern Irish crime fiction. And my creative work will take the form of a novel exploring themes of privilege and victim shaming in the aftermath of sexual assault. I'm also a crime writer, and my new book will be out in February. So we've all such diverse research interests, but yet there's a common ground to be found in our creative practice. I'd like to start by asking you, Emma, how did you end up doing a PhD?
Well, it's a good question. Sometimes I can't quite believe I'm doing one myself. It was the way I got into it was I got a short story I won a short story competition, and that piece got published in the Irish Times. And it seemed to be quite popular. And my now supervisor got in touch and said, "Would you be interested in applying for a PhD?" I said yes, and I got very lucky, very very lucky, by getting the funding and getting accepted. But I still carry this sort of, should I really be doing this? Should I be here? So it all feels very random and by accident, but I'm enjoying myself. I feel very lucky to be here. So that's how I started.
And what about you, Niamh? How did you end up on this strange journey of creative PhDs?
Yeah, similar to Emma, a real sense of, I feel very, very lucky and very kind of humbled to be doing it. I'm very surprised that I've ended up here, because I wouldn't have ever considered myself very academic, I suppose. So I did my undergrad at Ulster University, where I did fine art, and I did image-based and objects installations, which were essentially storytelling through objects and images. And I really enjoyed the process of doing my dissertation, and then got into the master's at Queen's University to do film, and actually leaned more towards writing than filmmaking, which was surprising to me, and really enjoyed the screenplay element of it. And then it just seemed like a natural progression to go for a PhD, not thinking that I would ever get the funding or be picked, or, you know, it's so competitive. So I just feel really overwhelmed and lucky, and I kind of got that news during the first lockdown as well, so that was a real big kind of relief that there was something at the end of the year to look forward to. So yeah,
I was the same. My funding came through in that first lockdown, and within the space of 2 weeks I'd been offered a new publishing deal with HarperCollins, and then the funding came through, and it was suddenly like the two things that I really wanted had landed at the same time. And it was, which do you do? And the obvious answer is you do both and just hope you win it, you know.
Ultimate multitasking.
Exactly. And do you know what? It's all of the same. I'm a crime writer, so I'm working within that genre. And I'm the type of person, when I read a good book, I want to write an essay about it to find out how I really feel about it and just to work through it. So I think PhD allows me to bring together the love of the crime genre and academic rigour and to see how far I can take that, really. And I think with my PhD, I'm sort of looking at female experiences and how they've been marginalised as an inheritance of the Troubles. And so trying to work through all those sort of traitor, whore, mother stereotypes that may have been there in some of the Troubles thrillers, and seeing the crime writing that's coming through now, it's just brilliant. And I suppose Anna Burns' Milkman really has just switched things for a lot of women writers from here. And we're no longer the invisible woman within the genres. So yeah, I think it's a good time to be doing any kind of creative PhD research. How do you both feel about your works in progress and the process of creating? You know, what does that mean for you? I think people looking at us from the outside, they just don't get how you can do a creative PhD. So Emma, how would you explain the process to somebody that doesn't understand it?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure I understand it myself, but I mean, with lockdown, I know that what I would have described as my creative practice has kind of become very deranged. All the usual things that I would have done, I just can't do, because a lot of it would have involved, and I didn't really realize this before, but it involved talking to people, being around people, bouncing off their energy, taking, you know, inspiration from interactions, micro interactions, all that type of stuff. And it's just not there anymore. And I know that sounds vague, but, you know, I think that that's a huge part of a creative practice, is simply being around other people, other creatives, you know.
It's an energy taking, to be gained in, yes, that, isn't there? You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's that, and talking about your work with other like-minded people, it really informs your creative practice, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, you know, I take whatever opportunities I can get to talk to other creatives, like we're doing right now, for example. But I suppose, what in terms of a creative practice moment, it's really just a lot of thinking. Like, somebody, you're talking about somebody on the outside looking in, probably doesn't look like I'm doing that much, because it's reading, it's thinking about what I'm reading, it's thinking about how I'd like to take that, maybe some theme, some idea, some kind of something from whatever it is, I'm making it into a short story. And it's a lot of doodling, a lot of writing out a lot of stuff, which probably isn't going to get used. It's just about fermenting something, and then just writing, bashing the keyboard until, just mashing syllables together until something sensible comes out, taking the brace position if I get an email, that kind of stuff.
I totally relate to that. Niamh, you're working on a screenplay, so what does your process look like? You know, do you go away and you think about locality and how it's going to look before you start the writing process, or does, you know, it work in a different way for you?
I think I've always continued similar themes through all my different various practices. So, like, obviously in my fine art degree, it was much more working with physical objects and physical things, and I was kind of thinking about memory attached to objects and how, if they're, you know, put together, those two objects are now related to one another, and, like, you know, associating things with one another and what the history is there and how you can tell stories between them. And I never really thought of that being transferable into a PhD either. I think it's important to note that, like, I think a lot of people think that maybe their practice wouldn't be able to be a PhD. And I think the first time I ever encountered anybody doing a creative PhD, she was a performance artist, and I was just kind of like blown away, being like, how are you doing a PhD in performance art? And I knew that she was doing a performance as part of her Viva, and like recording it and showing it to people. And that was the first time it kind of clicked for me to be like, maybe I could do a PhD, you know. And it's developed into a screenwriting practice, as you said. But I think it's similar, where you're like, how could that be a PhD practice? But for me, it's similar ideas, and you're just putting them into the world of film and that version of storytelling. So yeah, I guess the ideas definitely come first, I think. And then a lot of the theory gets like shoved underneath it. I think, and the idea for my screenplay, which is it's a kind of a futuristic sci-fi where memory is starting to feel human beings because of their overdependence on technology, and that's kind of disrupting how they interact with their concept of their self. So that just came to me during the summer when I heard about the PhD, and I was sitting down, I was in Donegal actually at my granny's house, and it all kind of rolled out of me at once, and that's formed the structure for it. So it just kind of can happen like that, and then you just layer in your theory and try and make it seem academic after that, I guess.
I love how you say it just sort of happened like that, and that's sort of really back to what Emma said, you know, you do the reading, you do the thinking, and something happens in the subconscious, you know, that little thread has been there all along waiting to be sort of harnessed into another sort of practice, another project. Emma, your sort of background with the theory towards what you're writing, your short stories, what is sort of the theme linking each of the short stories, or is there one? Do you see it like that?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the work and the research that I'm focused on is the Anthropocene. So this idea that we're living, you know, in this geological era that's affected by human activity. And it's kind of like asking questions like, what is it? Why do we call it that? And how do you conceive of it in fiction? So within that larger idea, I'm kind of like breaking down categories of nature, culture, and like asking things like, what does fiction look like whenever human characters become decentralized? So it's not about what it means to be human, you know, that kind of thing you find in a lot of blurbs on books, but rather like, what does it mean to live together on a planet, you know, or on a changing earth? Following your nose, I think, is a big part of research as well. And it's taken me down this rabbit hole of weird fiction. So like, you know, things you might associate with H.P. Lovecraft, like tentacular monsters and cosmic horror. And I think his grip on the weird is a bit tight, too tight. I'm kind of wondering how to disentangle him from what I think weird fiction could be. And yeah, my thinking is we're part of an ecosystem, we're part of a larger planetary system, and we live in that. And that's just kind of the broad sort of strands of thought that I'm taking in. And a creative piece that I'm working on at the moment is playing around with the idea of a changing, incomprehensible, somewhat frightening world. The sea has its own consciousness, it has its own agency, and there's questions that come out of that about anthropomorphism, you know, giving human-like characteristics and motivations to non-human things. And I think it's a nuanced discussion to have about whether or not and how that works, whether or not to do it and how that works. I'm also just playing around with the ideas of boundaries and borders and how we occupy landscape and spaces and the way we share those with other people. So yeah, those are the kind of things that I'm thinking about in terms of the fiction and about how to present them in such a way that it's just new, and it's like a different way of thinking about things, you know, that kind of stuff, you know.
Absolutely. And you know what, when you're talking about landscapes and borders and how we live within it, it's so prescient really today when we think of everything that's going on with Brexit and beyond that, and how we're working as isolated units to deal with the pandemic. We're being forced to look inward really rather than work as a global planet, you know. It's so interesting to me. But it's funny you say about going down rabbit holes, because I was staging a play just pre-lockdown and everything had to stop. So now we're looking at ways of maybe staging it with the restrictions. And that brought me to look at a thing called ambient literature, whereby use digital sort of technology. If you're reading a story on your phone, any device, whatever it is, the data from around you will be transferred into the story. So if it's raining, it becomes raining in the story if you're reading at night. So it's just so interesting how we're going to have to look at using technology to sort of gain that agency that we've maybe lost during the pandemic. Would you say the COVID restrictions have made you feel different about your work? Niamh, have you had any sense of needing to think differently?
Definitely. And I think as creative people, we're probably striving for more pathways for kind of escapism and stuff like that. It's really important to just to get yourself away from the same room that you've been in as well, just mentally try and escape from that and get a little bit of like stimulus from other places. I think that's the real thing that we're lacking in, and like obviously going for walks and everything is amazing for that, and being in nature and trying to absorb interactions from maybe non-humans, you know, like looking at birds and different things like that, or ducks along the towpath and things like that, I think are really a really nice way to try and encourage yourself to be writing and thinking a bit differently. But yeah, I guess it's the social interaction that I really, really miss. And I think I said to you before, I always end up accidentally being in the pub after big events or big kind of, and I need that for like a debriefing or a decompression. And I get a lot of good feedback from friends and colleagues. And I really, really miss that, I think, because I always kind of fold that back into my work. And I think I usually keep a really good connection with other people with where I'm at in my work, and because I like talking about it, and I think I'm friends with a lot of other people who think in that similar kind of way, and you guys have been a great way of doing that as well. So I think that's the main thing that I miss, is that like that back and forth and like this symbiotic relationship you have that with your friends. And it's not like they're not like, you owe me that, or like, you know, like it's like, no, you're just helping each other out and just helping that creativity flow forward. I think it's really, really important.
I think symbiosis is a really good word there, because we are symbiotic people. Like, do you know what I mean? That's how we operate, I think. I've actually been listening to an audiobook by Merlin Sheldrake called Entangled Life. It's about fungus, and I think that's a point he raises as well, that we are like, our natural state is one of symbiosis, and we sometimes forget that. And I think that's why lockdown is so difficult for us, really. And it, you know, you could be the most introverted person in the world and it can still be hard, because it's not really how we do things, you know?
Absolutely. So, you know, moving on and being a bit more lighthearted, what are you watching or reading to get you through this time?
I just binged on Marcella on TV.
Very good. Right up my street, yeah. The next series, I think, starts this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was binging on, actually. It came out yesterday.
Right, okay. And it was filmed in Belfast and the story has moved here, yeah. No, that's one I'm definitely going to look up. I've just been watching It to Sin, the Russell T. Davis drama. It was wonderful, absolutely brilliant writing and perfectly cast.
I've been meaning to watch that, actually. It looks brilliant.
Really good.
Just finished watching Love Life, which I thought initially was going to be trashy. It's on BBC iPlayer and it's Anna Kendrick, but it's actually really, like, the concept's really good. It goes through all the seven major loves of her life in each episode, like from start to finish. And some of them are like kind of less conventional ideas of love. But at its core, it's about her and her, like, her evolving from her 20s to her 30s and being a bit lost in her career and that kind of stuff. And I thought it was really good, actually, in the end.
Sounds like really good lockdown watching. And reading then, I was reading a novel that's not out to March, The Last House on Needless Street by Katrina Ward. And it's a horror novel, but it's really a study in abject fear. Oh, it has blown my mind. I've really enjoyed that. So it's just been able to find anything that'll take you out of this place that we find ourselves in at the minute, isn't it? So what have you had enough of? For me, it's the family WhatsApps and the jokes that keep coming. And, you know, somebody sends you the same joke you've been sent the day before. I'm so over it. What about you guys?
Mine's probably similar. It's in that vein, but I'm definitely done with family quizzes and quizzes in general. I think there was one stage, now it's definitely gone down a little bit for this lockdown, but the first lockdown I feel like it was crazy, and there was one stage where I had four quizzes in a week and it was just too much. I had to write one of them, and like it was my partner's family, my family and my friend group. It was just too much. I never want to do a quiz ever again.
Emma, what about you?
Gosh, I don't know. I think I've just had enough of lockdown. I can't wait for this. Yeah. Shit show to be over.
No, hopefully we're on the other side of you know, getting there, and by the summer I'm just so hoping that we're all gonna be able to sit around a pub table and have these chats.
So oh, yes, that's what I'm looking forward to, meeting you in person and chatting to you in person would be great.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for today, and we hope you enjoyed listening to us, and we'll speak to you again. Thank you.
You just heard The Edit, featuring Sharon Dempsey, Emma Devlin, and Niamh McCann. The Seamus Heaney Centre podcast is created in a small back room by Stephen Sexton and Rachel Brown. It was produced and featured original music by Connor McCafferty. With thanks as always to our guest writers and to Connor for his music.